Grays Harbor, and we're going to have to move fairly briskly. We have three people here from Eastern Washington. We are not going to do agenda item 26 today. That is the commercial fishing guide logbook requirements. We will do that in June.
Can we just take the one guy?
Shoot.
He doesn't care.
Okay.
Tammy talked to him. Hey, Don.
Your mic, sir.
How much heartburn are you going to have if we just cancel 26?
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. Obviously, I'm Chad Herring. I'm South Coast Policy Lead. Excited to be here to talk about something different than Willapa Bay for once in my career. So, given that Willapa Bay took so much time, we're going to skip over some aspects of the presentation that Mike and I have prepared for you here today. The first few slides were meant to be a recap of Grays Harbor policy itself. I think I'm going to go ahead and just skip forward to the 2018 actual performance and implementation. Let's just cut right to it, given where we're at. So with that, I will turn it over to Mike Sharp.
I think it's still morning, so good morning, Commission, Director. I am Mike Sharp. I'm the District Fisheries Biologist for Grays Harbor. Going into the 2018 season, I guess I'll just run with it. We had some constraining stocks. Chehalis Fall Chinook hasn't made its escapement goal 3 out of 5 years. Policy guides us to minimize our impacts to 5%. Same with Hump Tulips Coho. We also had a situation with our Grays Harbor Coho as an aggregate stock. The forecast placed that stock into a low abundance category under the Pacific Salmon Treaty. That treaty manages Grays Harbor as one stock, not a Hump Tulips or Chehalis. So what that did was triggered a 20% maximum ER for all fisheries coast-wide. So we had some additional constraints that we had to work with this year. So I'm going to run through real quick, just stock by stock real quick. Spring Chinook, we had a forecast of over 1,700. This stock has made goal 3 out of 5 years. The average catch in the last 3 years that we ran this fishery has been about 40 fish. Didn't look like there was a lot of fish available, but we felt pretty good at providing the opportunity of running our standard May through June fishery. So that's what we did. Those fish did not come in nearly as strong as we thought they would. Escapement is just a little bit under 500 fish, which is way below the goal. We saw similar returns of a spring Chinook up all along the north coast, so this was kind of a region-wide issue. Not sure why we had such an issue with spring Chinook this year. Our fall Chinook, we had a forecast for Chehalis at just under 11,000. We have our 5% impact, so when we put together our fisheries, we kept that in mind. We did not provide any directed Chinook fisheries on this stock. And one of the policy guidance is to try to, in the sharing, allow up to 0.8% impacts for our commercial sector. As you see up here, our planning provided we were only able to get up to 0.2% in our management of our commercial fishery. So that was one of the issues we had to deal with. But the end result is the stock came in a lot stronger than we thought. We haven't finalized our escapement for Chinook or Coho at this time, as we're still working with our co-managers to make sure all of the spawning ground data have been collected and the data has been reviewed. But it looks like we had about 16,000 to 17,000 natural spawners this year, which is far above the goal. So we're pretty happy that our fall Chinook look like they're coming around. Hump tulips, we had another. This stock has been routinely achieving its goal. Our policy guideline is to manage fisheries to allow for conservation. And it also allows for 5.4% impact during the commercial fisheries while targeting other stocks. In our planning process, we were only able to come up with 2.45. We didn't come anywhere close to that, but it looks like this, the escapement, which is close to being finalized, was well over the goal. Almost 6,000 fish returned and spawned naturally. Coho, again, Chehalis coho has been routinely achieving the goal, but we have our PST constraints that we had to work with, which was really difficult. We had to cut things way back. Again, we're close to finalizing the escapement. It looks to be about 40,000 natural spawners, maybe a little bit higher. So although we had issues with dealing with putting together fisheries, it looks like we've got plenty of fish that came back to spawn. Hump tulips coho, here's a stock that we have not routinely achieved the escapement goal. We had a pretty low forecast again this year. So we according to the policy, would have a 5% impact, but the PST constraint was a little bit larger. So again, we had to craft our fisheries to avoid hump tulips coho. I will say that that population has kind of been stable over the past 20 to 30 years at about 2,000 to 2,500, which is far below the goal. This year's escapement looks like it's in that same range, a couple of thousand fish. Hump tulips, or I guess Grays Harbor chum, we had a fairly robust forecast. We've achieved goal 3 out of 5 years. And this is one of our escapement goal or spawner escapements that have been finalized. 41,695 was what we estimated spawned this year. So, again, far above the goal. And now just a couple of quick slides to show what kind of how things went in the commercial fishery. A lot of these impacts are non-harvest mortalities, so commercial impacts due to targeting other fish, and then some harvest in 2C. On the left, you got preseason numbers, and then on the right are what we actually saw this year, and we do onboard monitoring, so we have a pretty good idea of what some of those non-harvest mortalities are. The point here is that actual numbers are lower than what we had predicted preseason. And just one more quick little slide here is that in development of the policy, there was kind of a target long term of about $74,000 for an ex vessel value. During our planning, we have a predicted estimate of what that season would produce. Much of those numbers in the last 4 years are even below what the policy was trying to reach at, and the actuals are even lower than that. I will say that 2017, I think that is more of a sign of an increased price on fish than representing numbers of fish caught. I think that was what I was up here to present. Sorry it was so quick, but got to get things done. So I'll turn it back over to Chad.
Thanks, Mike. I will just talk briefly here just to kind of sum a couple of things up. Some information we wanted to provide to the commission in terms of other policy components. I believe 2019 will be year four of a five-year study to evaluate our CHUM escapement methodology. That's done through our science division, and it's also it's funded by some funds from the Chehalis Basin Task Force as they're looking at the dam project there on the Chehalis. And it is a collaborative project that we're working on with the Chehalis tribe and the Quinault tribe to look at that CHUM methodology. And hopefully that'll give us a good idea of the accuracy and precision of those CHUM escapement estimates. The second part is, as you heard earlier during open public comment period, Wainuchi mitigation. So the department staff, regional staff, and Olympia headquarters have reinitiated conversations with Tacoma Power and the Quinault Indian Nation around this item. It's a plan has been developed and shared. That plan was developed collaboratively with Quinault staff. It's my understanding at this point in time that plan is working its way through the chains, and we should have some updates on that relatively soon. Hopefully it's some good news, but just wanted to let you know that we have been working on a plan with the Quinault Indian Nation, and more to come on that hopefully very soon. So just in terms of challenges for the implementation of the Grays Harbor policy in 2019, one of the things that becomes an issue is the concurrence and management objectives between the state, tribal, and federal governments. For us, we manage for Chehalis Chinook, Humptulip Chinook, Chehalis Coho, Humptulip's Coho. Neither do our tribal co-managers nor do the feds look at those individual aspects. Grays Harbor is managed from their perspective as Grays Harbor Chinook and Grays Harbor Coho. So that provides them with a little bit more flexibility given some of the constraints that we've had with, as Mike mentioned, being challenged for meeting Coho escapement on the Humptulip side and then Chinook escapements on the Chehalis side. So just to further that a little bit more, as Mike mentioned, we have an aspect of the policy that's referred to as the 4-3. It's really centered around gear conflict. The conservation objective would be the 5% constraint. Because of the 4-3 and that it is not only directed at state-managed fisheries, but also we have to consider our tribal co-manager fishery schedule. If there are, for instance, if our co-managers choose to fish 4 days in any given week, the remaining 3 days of that week have to be closed to any commercial fishery. So given the non-concurrence in the management objectives, that becomes kind of a box for us to be able to schedule commercial fishing time. As Mike alluded earlier, even though the objective and policy would be for the Chehalis Chinook allocation to go to the commercial sector at 0.8, because of the 4-3 principle, we were only able to schedule up to 0.3. So there was a lot of, so that creates some issues as we're trying to schedule fisheries. The last point I'll make here is active monitoring of recreational fisheries to inform in season actions. We use CRC data to monitor all recreational fisheries in the Grays Harbor Basin, and as you folks are fully aware, there's a time lag on that, and it really hampers our ability, along with this reduction in commercial fisheries, to really get some accurate in-season information in order to either pull back the reins or open things more wide open given the forecast versus what we're seeing on the ground as the fishery develops. So, and the last point I'll make here is we'll have some constraining stocks moving into 2019, Chehalis River Natural Origin Chinook and Humptulip's Natural Origin Coho. And those are usually our typical ones every year. So with that, I'll leave it to questions.
You said that we're waiting to hear on the current proposal on the Wenatchee mitigation plan. Who are we waiting to hear from? Is it both Tacoma Power and working its way through the tribe? Or
I believe so. I believe so. Yes. Thank you for the question. I've been really focused on. There we go.
Okay. Sorry to put
Thank
you on
you,
the spotlight.
Nope, that's perfect. No, thank you,
Chair Carpenter, Commissioner Thorburn. We're waiting on me. We have a tentative agreement on some possible mitigation moves that staff have worked out technically with staff from the Quinault Nation. I have not yet reviewed that, nor have I briefed the director on that yet. And but we've the Quinault Nation and the department are trying to get ourselves to a point by a meeting that Director Suswin and President Scharf from the Quinault Nation have later this month to try to be able to at least shake hands in principle and try to finalize that and take it to Tacoma. Again, I'm the delay on that, but we'll get to it just as quickly as we can.
Commissioner Kehoe. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So getting back to that 4-3 issue, so the Grays Harbor policy, talking about, you know, policies that were in development, that was a new one. Excuse me. That was during my first year or two on the commission, and I distinctly recall, I mean, and that was a very controversial issue, as I recall. There were a lot of folks, particularly the river, the freshwater fishery, that really wanted that. And, you know, they made a compelling argument. The thought at the time was that we could work with the Quinault tribes and come up with a schedule that worked for the commercial. I think it's pretty apparent now that hasn't, we haven't been able to do that. You know, obviously our tribal friends, they want to fish when the fish are available and when they're there. So, and that creates a real conflict for us and a challenge, and we see the result. I'm not going to suggest that we make a modification without public comment. I think that would be too controversial, and so I'm not suggesting that. But I do think that we need to look at that part of the policy, maybe lining up with everybody else. We do have as I recall, there is an adaptive management provision, though, that is available within the Grays Harbor policy. I'll have to refresh my recollection on that. But we need to take a look at that. We need to reexamine that. I don't know if we can, you know, how many different policies we can analyze at one time. But in my mind, that really needs to be evaluated.
Ron Warwick.
Chair Carpenter, thank
Please.
You. Commissioner Kehoe, thanks for your comments about working with the Quinault Nation. We enjoy, I think, a very good working relationship with the Quinault Nation, and that is not intended to say that everything we do we're in 100% agreement, but we can, at the end of every season, look at what we do and why we did it and justify what we do together and defend it together. It's not a perfect machine. One thing that we may not have said is that when we developed the Grays Harbor policy, I was a pretty young individual, not in age, but in tribal relations, and didn't do a good job in communicating with the Quinault Nation to get their perspectives of the policy and how it might affect or what our expectations were. And so I think that as the five-year review comes up on this policy and the commission decides if they want to make any modifications a further outreach and better communication plan with them is certainly warranted. We could go a long ways in even bettering our relationship if we gave them some review time and some just time at the table to describe what our intent was and what our expected accomplishments would be by any modifications to the policy.
And let me just clarify to my comment. It wasn't critical of a Quinault.
I didn't take it.
Obviously,
that way.
You know, they're going to want to fish when there's good opportunities, and so you know, for us, any event. So it was more of a critique or a need to examine our own policy to see if it works and see if it's doable. And I have my doubts personally.
Commissioner Keith, thanks for that. That's the way I took your comment. I just wanted to come up and say that we have a strong relationship that's grown over the years, and we should all embrace that a bit. So thank you for your comment.
Okay. If there is no other comments, this is a briefing and public comment item. So you boys might as well take your seats.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter.
Thank you. Those of you that are being called up have been called up a few times today. So
we got it right.
Yeah. We're going to Tim Hamilton, Bob Lake, and Joseph Durham. And right behind these gentlemen are Andy Mitby and Francis Estalila.
For the record, my name is Tim Hamilton, and I promise this is the last time today I'm going to talk to you. I'd like to answer. I'm here as the president of Twin Harbors Fish and Wildlife Advocacy, which is a small nonprofit. We've been involved in litigation all over the coast out there where we tried to work these problems. My brother Dave sits on the advisory committee in Grace Harbor, and I sit on the advisory committee in Willapa. The two are connected. That's why they're called Twin Harbors. I really want to suggest that our new director ensure that each one of you get a link to a presentation from NOAA on how it can be that it triggers ESA. You can trigger it on hatchery fish. You do not take, and the standard is, if someone files that petition and you have something like chronic failure to reach escapement goal, NOAA shall move forward. Okay? It's really something very serious. The fish are tied together. I think the way I visioned the ESUs were set up was that it was balanced off the fact that we didn't have any Norse in Willapa, but we had all these ones further up the ESU on the north coast in Grace Harbor. Okay? Guess what? We don't have them anymore. We can't have any retention for recreational fishing, only incidental catch of a Chinook. From where we stand right now, no child, my grandchild, will never ever be allowed to retain a Chinook in the Chehalis Basin again. At the same point, we've now willapaused the hump tulips, where we can't get the escapement goal across the bar. The prior intercept of all these fish leaves us such a small amount. And when the department sits there and says, well, you know, you got to go talk to PMFC, if I remember correctly, the department is our delegate to PMFC. So you got to get the fish across the bar. And one of the things that happened with the 4-3 and different things, the Chum Bypass of Willapa as well, is we learned we had a heck of a lot more fish coming if we stopped fishing for them. You take 18 barrier dams out of the 1-1 bridge, more fish show up than you think. Okay? So it also clarified things. I could go in and sit in Grace Harbor and watch a fight. It wasn't nothing like it used to be. It was almost polite. Then I'd go over to Willapa and say the same people, food fight, right? As this commission didn't give clear and precise understandings to this department. They can't take it. They can't handle it. So the more clear and precise that you are, the better off you are. And that unfortunately is not my management style of flexibility in things, but welcome to the world. So make it clear and precise. Tell us what you want. We'll get it done. But don't overlook ESA. It's right over our shoulder. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Bob?
Good afternoon again. I'll make this quick. First of all, that 3-4 thing that for Grays Harbor absolutely killed the commercial fishery. But it could have worked if, in fact, if they would have put us in 2B, which is a westport. We could have fished the same time that Quinault's fish. I fished with the Indians before. We didn't have any serious problems. But, I mean, if the staff would turn around and stand up and support the non-treaty commercial fisheries instead of rolling over, Ron says they got a good rapport with them. Well, yeah, when you roll over, they love it. But, I mean, we are not being treated by staff the way we should be. They're supposed to be representing the non-treaty go-hunters. The staff is. They're not supposed to be representing the Quinaults. So, I mean, if we turn around and fish 2B when they're fishing the rest of the bay, 2C and 2D, and fact is, 2D, they can't even fish part of that. They're limited to 2A and just part of 2D now. We could fish 2B and 2D and 2C if we have the coho to fish it or whatever species we're okay with. But let's get the staff directed to work with the commercial fisheries, the non-treaty. Because the treaty fishermen, they're going to fish whatever days they choose to pick to fish. Well, if we fish the same days, we're going to catch some fish, true. But on the same token, we will have a little bit of a viable fishery. But unless we're willing to do that, or staff's willing to do that, we're not going to benefit from it. Okay, and that's about all I have.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Joe?
Well, it is afternoon now. Thank you for the opportunity to speak again. Grays Harbor policy plan, salmon management policy plan, is to be terminated on December 31st, 2023. Within that plan, we have the 4-3 option that we support. I know it's hard on the commercial fishermen because they can't get out in Area 2B because of the impacts on the hump tulip side for coho or whatever the impacts might be. So they're restricted to fish behind the Quinaults when the space is available. I'm not anti-commercial. People say that I have been in the past. I'm not supportive of commercial. I'm in the middle. 2A is an area that I thought about for years to try to get them out of with the gill nets. The state-managed fisheries. I'm not going to fight that battle. You need to take a look at what the impacts are and what it's going to be. And they talked about, Bob just talked about 2B. I mentioned that a few years ago and I was ran out of the room. Stick by the policy. We have the 3-5 on returns, whether we have a fishery or not on a specific species. That hammers us on how long we can fish, where we can fish. We used to open up in August for in-stream fisheries. Now we're down to October. Try to push that back to September so that we can get at some of those early coho that are coming in. You know, the numbers aren't there what they used to be because they've reduced the hatchery production on earlies going back towards the lates. There's a whole row of reasons why we need to stick to the policy. And if people don't like it, some people that don't like it, like I said about the Willapa, they were there when it was written. Get your sidebars. When you come back in 2023, whenever you come back and review or rewrite this program, keep those in mind to the commission, to the director, and to the commercial fishermen, to the recreational fishermen. All keep your things in mind. Thousands, again, hours have been spent on this policy. We want to fish in the rivers. I don't fish in the bay. I don't have a boat to fish it. I have a small 16-foot sled. I fish in the Chalice, the Wainuchi, and the Satsup, most of the Chalice for salmon. So we want our fishery. We can't dictate or tell the tribes what to do, and the tribes have been over to stick by the 4-3. Thank the department for going that way and talking to them, and they got that where they would fish within those 4 or 3 days and give us some room in the river where most of the recreational fishing takes place. The bay fishery is there. I don't fish it. A lot of people do. They love it. And if I have the opportunity to go with one of them, I'll go out and fish it for a day. Thank you for your time. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for coming. Andy and Francis.
You just heard it from staff. The 4-3 doesn't work. We cannot even get the time, nor, and some of you keep hitting on this, we can't even use the alternative gears. We don't have the time. So we dangle this carrot that we're going to give this commercial fishery so many mortalities, but we can't have them. One short-term answer, outside of throwing out the 4-3, is maybe 96 hours of fishing per week. That would free up a little bit of time for us. We're not talking about a lot of time. When we're on the river, we're on about a mile and a half stretch. So there's plenty of room to avoid conflict. And believe it or not, while we are fishing, the guys are still fishing on the riverbank and being very successful. Mindful of what others think, it's documented. The 4-3 doesn't work. You've heard it from staff. So if we go another year with the 4-3, you're saying, I think we're going to forego another commercial fishery. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Francis?
I have just 2 points. One, I gave a copy to the staff person up front to distribute to all the commissioners. There is a bit of an oversight in the policy. The same year we passed it, I won't go into the specific number, but I want to go through it with you conceptually. I know you get tired of numbers, but I'm the numbers guy. The same year we passed this policy, we also changed the Chinook escapement goal in Grays Harbor, and that was not reflected in the policy when you voted on it. And so there is a section in there in the fall Chinook management that talks about giving the commercials more opportunity when we have the abundance. And there's a sliding scale in Grays Harbor that runs from 0.8% all the way up to 5.8%. And similarly on the hump tulips, from 1.2% impact up to 5.4% when we have the fish to spare. So the low end of that represents the kinds of low impact we want to have when we have a conservation concern. And that means run sizes on the order, they're actually defined in the poly small run sizes, meaning conservation type run sizes, 110% of escapement goal or less is the run size we're talking about. And at the upper end of that is a run size of 182%. Anything exceeding that is a large run, and you'd want to give them more opportunity for that. And so the problem is that, or the issue is that we reduced the goal, the escapement goal on the Chehalis. We increased it on the hump tulips, and the absolute numbers that are in the policy no longer make sense, okay? So the threshold for the big run on the hump is about 4,000 fish. That's about 800 fish over the escapement goal. That's not a big run. So those thresholds just need to be adjusted proportionately in terms of the new escapement goal. And so it's outlined in the sheet I gave you. I've run it by staff. They haven't given it a resounding thumbs up. They'll check the math, but conceptually it's very sound. And it cuts both ways because you don't reach the higher numbers on the hump tulips till you have a bigger run size, but it helps them on the Chehalis side because the escapement goal has been reduced. And so if you do those proportionate reductions on the Chehalis and the proportionate increases on the hump, it is very fair. I'll just go to one other point, and that's the 4-3. I think there's a little bit of a mischaracterization for 2018. The reason we didn't reach the 0.8, we tried to put 0.6 on the table, if I saw that graph correctly. It didn't happen. We had very limited opportunity for coho. We had a coho shortfall last year that we were expected to keep coho impacts from Canada all the way to the Chehalis down to 20% or less. So all the seasons were curtailed We didn't butt up against the 0.8. We butted up against the coho, and that's why we couldn't reach it. There's always some constraining stock, and last year it was coho. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Okay, that concludes, unless there are any other questions from the commission, that concludes agenda item 25.